presence, and I knew this was a place where love abounds. For this is a temple the God we love abides here. Oh, we are standing in God's presence.
Never get tired of singing that song, of hearing that song, of being with those people and making a joyful noise. Thank you, Spiritus. We are on holy ground, and that's so much of what Palm Sunday is about to me. It's about that entrance into Jerusalem when Jesus was on a donkey and people took palms and they started laying them down on the street before him. And I had an idea for today, because I have such rich conversations with our dear friend, Reverend Sean. And I said, Sean, you know, we're talking about Palm Sunday. This was a few days ago. I said, would you be willing and able to join me in continuing our conversation in front of everyone, with everyone on Sunday? And he said, yeah, sure, I can make that happen. So I think that Sean is waiting. There he is.
Hello.
Reverend Sean.
Here I am. Yay.
Yay.
Hello, Bridge.
You look amazing.
I can't help that.
I know you can't, but you really look amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, in many ways. Thank you for saying yes to doing this today.
Oh, always. It's such
double duty. And yep. People don't know how what a blessing we are to each other in conversating all the time like we do. I'm glad you liked this idea.
I love talking about this stuff and finding ways to get better clarity on it. So it takes some of the mysticism out of it, but makes it hopefully more practical.
Mm.
That's my dream.
Well, and that's what Unity is. Yes. It used to be known as the School of Practical Christianity. And then it changed with the times into the School of Practical Spirituality. You know, yeah. It's a spiritual philosophy. And these holidays, these religious holidays, can really trip people up in Unity. They're like, wait a minute, why are we doing this Easter thing and this Christmas thing? And you have such a good handle on this stuff. And I think between us, putting our stuff into the soup, into the mix, somebody might get something from this. Odds are.
Well, I agree. I agree. I hope a lot of somebody's.
Yeah,
the old Joan Rivers line. You know, if I have affected just one person tonight, I have done a lousy job.
Thank you, Joan Rivers. I love that line.
If we touch one person's spiritual heart today, it's insufficient. Let us touch everybody's. That doesn't sound nice either, but you know what I mean. Let us be together and contemplate new ways of thinking about this stuff. And Palm Sunday is, when I became a preacher, as it were, a regular pastor, a regular Sunday minister, there were certain Sunday holidays that I always struggled with. Mother's Day, Father's Day, those are not religious holidays.
Right.
And Unity isn't particularly religious anyhow. But then, so now we get to the Easter time and Holy Week and that stuff. And I've struggled for years with it. How do I put the right tone on it? I don't want to negate everybody's, what they grew up with. And at the same time, we have to debunk certain superstitions.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's too many religious superstitions that give people an out from truly having their own God experience. Right. And Palm Sunday to me is one of them. I don't hate Palm Sunday. I'm not against it. Fine. I bought one of these just in case we needed help with palms on Sundays.
Thank you very much. I brought my palms with me. So
yes,
that's all I get. And a green shirt. You know what? Go ahead. This is what happens in our conversations. Go ahead.
So the thing is, Palm Sunday did not start with Jesus. Palm Sunday didn't even start till the 4th century. A lot of this stuff, I don't think Easter started until then either. Holy Week, you know, and now it's called Passion Sunday. It's not even called Palm Sunday anymore within the Catholic Church. It's called Passion Sunday. And so why are we celebrating this? Why do we mention it? Well, because we need symbols. We need opportunities to remind us of what we ought to remember every day of our lives. We need to remember Jesus coming. I'm sorry, I'm going to keep interrupting you. Jesus coming into town should not have been such a big deal. religious wise. It just shouldn't have been. He made a choice to come into town knowing he was likely to be captured, according to the story. And it is in all four, you pointed out to me earlier, it's in all four Gospels.
Yes.
Coming into town. Yes. And that's significant.
Yes, it is. It is the only, there are only two stories that are in all four Gospels in the Bible. And it is this one. It is this story of what has become Palm Sunday and the feeding of the 5,000. Not even the birth story. The birth story is only in two of them. So there's significance to this. There's importance to it. And also, we look at everything metaphysically, especially regarding the Bible. What do these things mean? These are aspects of us. Well, what does that mean? And so we get into what is the thing about the palms and the donkey and the city and yeah, you said something a minute ago about not wanting to take anybody's, you know, whatever they were brought up with away from them. And isn't that so often what happens in unity? You know, everyone, someone finds unity and goes, oh my God, I found my place. I found my belief. I found my tribe. And then there comes a point of, what have you done with my Lord?
Well, I still want my, excuse me, I still want my superstitions. And that's what I call them. No offense to anybody. Not, you know, I'm not here to call anybody bad. I possibly call you wrong, but not bad. Again, we're at unity. We want to be able to use this stuff practically. You tell me how this palm leaf, these palm leaves become practical to use in my daily thing, or even my thinking. Because all it does is symbolize a way to worship Jesus, and the very thing Jesus said was, do not worship me.
Yes.
He said, follow me. Didn't say worship me. Very big difference. And I think you've heard me say it. Why did he say follow me? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he found a way in, into the kingdom, into that place of assurance and knowing. And follow me. Come on, gang, follow me. You're not going to like it, but do it. And here's what it is. Forgive everybody. Didn't say tithe to everybody. It said forgive everybody. Well, who wants that? I'd rather idolize Jesus than forgive everybody. I can't let everybody off the hook. I can't. Well, I can, but I'm afraid of letting the past go. And therefore, I don't need the past to be different to be good today. And it's scary. So we create these superstitions that just aren't accurate. So the Palm Sunday thing, remember, the whole Palm Sunday thing is to lead to his death. And even that, he wasn't glorifying. You know, that Last Supper wasn't meant to be a holiday. It wasn't meant to be a religious thing. He was celebrating Passover with his Jewish disciples who wanted their traditions. That's what the Last Supper was about. It was a Passover dinner. It was
that's what's so important about this story that so many people miss is Passover is the pinnacle of the Jewish holidays, of the Jewish celebrations. And Passover is and was a really big deal, especially in Jerusalem. That's like headquarters. And so Jesus, this rabbi, this nice Jewish boy, was coming in. There's all these juxtapositions coming on because here's the Prince of Peace coming in from the west on one side of town on a donkey. People are taking branches and putting them down and throwing their coats down. And on the other end, you've got the Roman government coming in and this all this pomp and circumstance, Pontius Pilate. And I'm envisioning, you know, those old movies, the Ten Commandments and all the Cecil B. DeMille and all these things with the great big white horses wearing the plumes on their heads and all the regalia and the army. And you've got two things. Jesus knew he wasn't going to overcome them. He knew that he was. That's not what was going to happen.
About non-resistance.
I'm sorry, what?
It was about non-resistance as opposed to resistance.
Exactly. Exactly. The army wanted to come in and you know, keep an eye on all the Jews in their Passover celebration and what was going on. Remember, just like you said a minute ago, one important factor here is these things didn't come about, these holidays, these names, these titles, until the 4th century. There was no name for Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter.
There was none of that, yes. And so I followed it up. I'm going to read something real quickly here. It's from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. It's Matthew 26, chapter 26. And it says, too much importance has been placed on this event called the Last Supper. Jesus did not intend for this event to become a holy ritual within the world. For if he had intended it to become a ritual, he would be implying that his death meant something. And the purpose of Jesus' decision to continue with the crucifixion was to show that death meant nothing, means nothing. Jesus celebrated this Passover with his apostles because it was a Jewish tradition. Things of the world were not important to Jesus by this time, but the traditions were important to his apostles, and so he celebrated with them out of love. And he chose to use the celebration as a teaching opportunity. And I on Christmas Eve, we do communion once a year in Connecticut. We do it once in a while. We do it at a retreat, or I think I did it one year on Easter, Palm Sunday. But it says here, he used the bread as a symbol of the body to show the meaninglessness of the body. For one would not eat something that was holy. He would place it on an altar and give it praise. The wine represents communion or oneness. He used the wine to teach forgiveness by asking them all to drink from the same cup and by speaking of forgiveness as they drank. Let go of the world. Forgive the belief in separateness. Truly, we are one. And this was the message of the Last Supper.
Good stuff. You talked a minute ago about letting go of the past, you know, the forgiveness. Well, how about the present? Especially right now, this very moment in time, if you've got any news turned on right now, you know, we've constantly got opportunities to forgive, to expand in awareness. And that is what all of this is about. Metaphysically, it's about, you know, Jerusalem is the place of peace, the habitation of peace.
Which is really impressive.
I knew that you were going to get out your favorite book. So I'd like to share something with you.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you.
Twist.
Enlighten me.
And this is, and as we've already said, you know, this story is in all four of the Gospels. Well, this is from John. Chapter 12, the triumphal entry of Palm Sunday. The triumphal entry is a time that must come to your mind. This is the entry, the triumphal entry of the realization of all that is true upon your mind. This moment is a moment of triumphal entry, of a glorious moment beyond any moment you seem to know now. But this moment is also the humblest of moments, which is why it is represented by the image of a king riding on the back of a colt of a donkey. For in this moment, the moment of triumphal entry, you must place aside every concept of meaning that you ever thought you knew to be true, and you must be open to all that you never imagined. For all that you imagined is not true, and the truth is all that was never imagined.
I like it.
Drop the mic. Well, that's a summation. You have to really listen and get in there into those words. That's what this entry, this triumphal entry is, the Palm Sunday, the meekness, the humbleness of the cult of the donkey. Now, donkeys also are very stubborn. A minister friend of mine was telling me that when she used to be Unity of Phoenix many years ago, there where their church was located next to a farm. And among the animals, they had donkeys on this farm. And they thought it would be the coolest thing to have the minister ride in on a donkey on Palm Sunday. Well,
was it the coolest thing?
It was for the donkey. The donkey was not having it at all. And oh my God, I would have bought a ticket to be there and watch the mayhem that ensued. So Jesus had control of this donkey. Donkeys are stubborn. Donkeys are, and they dig their heels in. He had control of this, his awareness, control of his thoughts, the forgiveness, and so on and so forth.
The giving way for a new thought about everything. Let's call that forgiveness that. The giving way for a new thought.
I'd like to share something else from our co-founder, Charles Fillmore. Are you laughing at my tassel?
No, it's just the way I'd like to share something.
I'd like to share something. Well, it's from Keep a True Lent. We are in Lent.
Yes,
this Lent is the Palm Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Lent. Jerusalem, the holy city, symbolizes within us the habitation of peace, the possession of peace, the vision of peace. It symbolizes the great nerve center that is just behind the heart. From this point, spirit sends its radiance to all parts of the body. Jesus symbolizes our I am identity. His going up to Jerusalem means our taking the last step in unfoldment preparatory to the final step, when the personality is entirely crucified and the Christ triumphs. Jesus riding the ass into Jerusalem means the fulfillment of the time when the spiritual I am within us takes control and lifts all the animal forces up to the spiritual plane of mastery and peace. When the I am takes charge of the body, a new order of things is inaugurated. Through high and pure ideals, the whole consciousness is raised to a higher standard. The hosannas of the rejoicing multitude and the spreading of their garments and branches of trees before Jesus represent joyful obedience and homage to all the thoughts in one's consciousness give when an error state of mind is overcome. Charles Fillmore.
Yes.
Metaphysics.
Yes.
What you think about that?
As I hear all of this today, I'm wondering, how do we start making these holidays, these remembrances, these symbols about our own mind rather than Jesus' mind? That we, if in metaphysics, all the characters in the Bible are ourselves. Well, that would also have to be Jesus. Because Jesus is a character in the Bible. He's an entity in the Bible. And so if we are to identify with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Abraham and Sarah and Mary and everyone, then Jesus is also one that we would need to identify with. And that we would let this week be about the beginning of this week, be about our riding into the town of peace. Knowing probably anything but peace might come up. You know, set an intention and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But in the confusion around peace, everything that is not peace can fall away or die, as it were. And it's not about the death of the physical, of course. It's about the death of what is not real, of what is not true. And so in our Holy Week, in our Passion, in the crucifixion of our untrue mind or our unreality, we awaken to what we really are and what each other is.
Hmm.
What do you think that is an interpretation?
I like it.
Hosanna.
I like it. And the thing about it is all of that is a continual ongoing process. As Bishop Spong, as our Bishop John Shelby Spong once said, if all of this was true and real, if the resurrection was literally true, according to physics, Jesus would still be on his way right now to wherever it is he's going. And if you want to dive into this stuff, if it really sparks your interest, read Jesus for the Non-Religious by John Shelby Spong, because it sheds a lot of new light on this. So it is about the ongoing process. It is associated with preparing the way. That's what this, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's what this Palm Sunday, that's how it start is the start of Holy Week, of yes. what's to come, leading up to the resurrection. The crucifixion, thus the resurrection, where we rise up.
But I think what's important, it's not about preparing it for the future, from when we get around to it. All time is now. Mm-hmm. The whole Holy Week is now. Palm Sunday, Easter, crucifixion, resurrection, all of it, the passion, all every bit of it is now. We're not preparing for next week. We're preparing our mind for right now. Now, where they talk about the second coming, when it happens, it'll be now. And it's not about a man coming. It's about us remembering. Remember, that's why, like I said, when the Christ in me is awake now, I remember God. I remember health. I remember well-being. I remember harmony. I remember prosperity. I remember the I am of my being. And it, when does it happen? It happens now. And so it's not about pointing it off till next week. There is no such thing as next week. I'm imagining that. There's not even really anything such thing as last week. I'm imagining that. I'm making it up. I from where I stand, I plan for now. Even though that's so hard to do. But it's you know, this service is happening now. It's not happening next week. It's not happening last year. It's not happening next year. It's happening now.
And it is where we are right now. On our own evolving journey and journeys that come together for the journey.
Yes.
So, Sean, I know that we could go on and on. I know that you know that too.
I was worried about that myself.
But you know what? I want to thank you for being willing. I love our talks and when we have these divine ideas and we get to go deep and we get to go shallow. We get to go wherever in the now moment.
There you go.
And I shared recently, I think, I don't know if it was in a Sunday service, in a board meeting, what it was, that I had been gifted with a watch from a Thich Nhat Hanh lecture that said, the time is now at 12. At 3, the time is now. At 6, the time is now. At 9, the time is now, because the time is now. And so thank you. And thank you for doing double duty today. I really appreciate it. And for helping to shed a new light that hopefully, somebody got something out of it. If only one person.
I got something out of it.
I did too. There are two of us. So we haven't done a lousy job like Joan Rivers.
And oh, how we have enlightened Leo. And
Leo's a good artist. He's probably drawing palm branches as we're speaking right now. But I'm going to say goodbye because we could carry on and on.
Goodbye. Thank you again.
Because I think it's time to take this into meditation.
Yes, indeed.
I'll talk to you later. Let's meditate. Sean, thank you so much for that wisdom, those insights, and for the reminder that the time is now. The time to meditate is now. So I invite you to take in a deep breath on your own time and slowly let it out and let your body just melt, relax, relax your face, your jaw, your shoulders, your hands. The multitudes that awaited Jesus' arrival cried out, Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. This week is truly about our ride into peace, the thoughts of our minds, the cells of our bodies. The events of our lives are like the multitudes that waited for Jesus. Everything in us waits for and shouts with joy at the appearance of the Christ, the Spirit of God in our midst. In our spiritual nature, we recognize the Christ Spirit when it appears in our consciousness. We feel uplifted, filled with a sense of praise and song, knowing that when the Christ enters into our lives, transformation takes place. If we are downcast in any way in spirit and perhaps a need of healing, a need of peace, a need of order in our lives, if we long for happiness, for love, we welcome the Christ into our lives and our hearts. And so on this day, to the Christ within, we shout, Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And we take that celebration into the silence.
David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing, hallelujah, hallelujah. The name in vain, well, I don't even know the name, but if I did, well, really, what's it to ya? There's a blaze of light in every word, it doesn't matter what you heard, the holy or the broken, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wasn't much, I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fool ya. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before